With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're listening to Joseph Arthur and Adam Clark on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Adam Ruckus Clark, live on the radio, TNT. Adam Ruckus Clark, he's gonna tell us which way to go, TNT. On the Joseph Arthur Technicolor Dreamcast Show, TNT. Adam Ruckus Clark, tell us which way to go on TNT. Adam Ruckus Clark, on the radio, that's TNT. On the Joseph Arthur Technicolor Dreamcast Show, TNT.
What's up, dude? How are you, Ruckus?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm happy that we woke up yet another. We made it another day without going poof. So always you have to be thankful for that, right? Used to be that I would just wake up and thank God for you know, just waking up and being healthy and alive. But now I have to wake up and say all of that, and especially not going poof in the middle of the night while I was asleep. So, yeah. But things seem to be heading that way. Once I turn on the news, I'm like, I get that freaky, goosebumpy, poofy feeling again, because that's all the news wants to tell me is how we're on the verge, on the brink of nuclear Armageddon, apocalypse, Putin, missiles, explosions, bridges blowing up, people getting bombed. Exciting times. It's an amazing time to be alive. I don't know what they say. It's just crazy, dude.
It is crazy, man. It's wild. Well, hopefully this makes people, I don't know, think differently about what's going on, you know, because, you know, Kiev was like sort of seen as this bastion before, what happened today a little bit. People were, oh, the clubs are open, this, that, and the other. People were kind of living as normal as could be expected over there until now. So hopefully this makes people talk about peace and get real with that aspect of the conflict, because this is insane. And if I guess what remains to be seen is how NATO will respond. You know, I think that'll tell the whole story, really.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. NATO is one of those old school ones. They've been around for a while, but like, you know, people in these individual governments that are represented in an organization such as NATO, for instance, did not vote. They didn't say, hey, yes, this is what we want. We want this coalition of these different military powers that, you know, once you give any human being or a group or an organization any amount of power, history teaches us that it tends to get mistreated, if you know what I'm saying. So I just don't understand how all of this happened. These are things that were put in place like so long ago, like before we were even born. It sometimes makes the fight feel, I don't know, I don't want to be pessimistic or anything, but there's so many things that we have to undo that were put in place decades before we were even a gleam in our father's eyes. You know what I'm saying? So it's like there's so many deep-rooted satanic evils to this breadcrumb that goes all the way back to ancient Babylon, if you go far enough back. I mean, technically, in some of these weird pagan religion and secret societies, these elite power structures have been something they've been working on and tweaking on and adjusting and changing for a very, very long time. So, but the NATO one really gets me. It's like if NATO wants to declare war, now you have all, you've given the power of the small handful of representatives of a small handful of amount of countries. I mean, because there's a lot of countries across the planet Who put them in charge? Who gave them their fingers on the button that could lead us all into, like, you know, the theoretical, you know, apocalypse, the Armageddon, the end of life as we know it? Why? For what? You know what I mean? Like you said, why can't we just give, you know, peace? Why can't we all just get along? This is absolutely ridiculous. And I want nothing to do with it, but there's no opting out. There's no escape hatch. There's no nothing that says, who do we vote for? If we were in California, I was listening to your previous guests, which one of the two Republicans or the two Democrats can we vote for that is going to stop World War III? You know what I'm saying? So a lot of these things seem like, well, yeah, okay, I would go vote, but, you know, I could just, you know, poof.
Well, I'm against the poof option. You know, I don't know. I think, yeah, we need public uprising, but, you know, people are still duped by Western media so strongly that, you know, even to promote peace is seen as pro-Russian, and it's just crazy because I'm back to agreeing with Noam Chomsky, which is very odd, especially with his weird take on COVID and locking people up in camps and whatnot. But, you know, I mean, the options really are find peace or Ukraine is just set for destruction, really. I mean, that's, you know, so if you care about Ukraine, to not want peace is absurd. It's like I was saying, I said it in my editorial before the last interview, which is like, it's like your friend confronting a bully in school that there's no way he can win against, and he wasn't really innocent, and he had a hand in provoking as well. So it's like, if you're a friend, you go, hey, why don't you try to find peace, or why don't we back off? You know, I mean, because this is not going to go well. And I feel like Putin's show of force kind of displayed that wildly. You know, they hit all the targets. You know, they hit Zelensky's office, which is like hitting the CIA in America or something like that. You know, it's just like, come on, that sort of displays it.
Well, as long as they didn't hit his closet full of army green shirts, I think we'll be okay. That guy is such a clown. That guy's an act. That guy is 100% a character, bro. Zelensky. Yeah, that's my personal opinion, and I'm sticking to it. You have a comedian, literally, you know, who you played a skit where he was the president, and here he is the president, and come on, man. This is just like a giant slap in the face. There's so much theater to the war thing. So I don't know. There's no side to take when it comes to war. No side is right or wrong because wars are not justifiable. They're not like they were a long time ago. There's a fascinating, I encourage yourself as well as the listeners, if they get a chance, to check this podcast out called The Mystical American Patriots Society. It's one that we rebroadcast over at alternatecurrentradio.com. But, I was listening to one of their recent episodes, and they broke it down very well. One of the hosts on the show, who goes by the name Smokestack, was laying down how, thousands of years ago, wars were fought. It was a way for you to have a form of debate, like who's right and who's wrong, and God. You would cast the lot before God in the form of combat. It would be men on men, actual trained soldiers, and you would go out on the battlefield and you would fight it out to the death, you know, or to the last man standing or whatnot. Now we have all of these instances of war crimes, you know, collateral damage, civilian casualties, civilian targets, women and children, torture, rape, all sorts of crazy stuff that is not inherent to the concept of war and what it used to mean something back in the day, you know, or even if it was like about land and power, you would take over the place, but you wouldn't just sit there and randomly just slaughter all of the civilians. You know, you targeted the other, it was military against military, you know, and I guess there was a code of conduct and ethics, I suppose, that were involved with war. And all of that's just been freaking thrown out the window. You know, they threw out the water with the, you know, the baby with the bathtub water or whatever. They just don't care. They've thrown complete reckless abandonment and about people's emotions, and everyone's living in fear now about this concept, this idea of, you know, a World War III, whether it's nuclear or even now they're bandying about the biological weapons. They've been talking about this lab leak thing with the China. I mean, how long before we start to hear about, oh, now there's a new virus that Putin released on some, you know what I mean? Like, this could go on forever so many different ways, and it's just absolutely disgusting to me. And again, I wish there was an opting out. And, you know, besides your own personal, you know, walk with your faith, if you want to walk with Jesus, if you believe in that, or whatever you want to be spiritually grounded in, if you want to go outside and get grounded and do yoga, or, you know, do some, you know, do whatever you need to do. Get some sun, get some fresh air, walk the dog, do whatever. But don't sit here in fear watching the streams on CNN and all the explosions and whatnot. And we should probably stop throwing money at Ukraine while people here at home are suffering. So I think that's all I have to say about the whole thing, Joseph.
Well, like what Patrick was saying, they have to justify all that money now. So they're up against that in terms of their response here. I mean, there's a lot of pride that goes on, you know, with these conflicts. And it's just like, I don't really see anyone backing down, not to like play into, you know, the theater of it, like you're saying. And I think you're right. I mean, at this time, you have to really like make sure you take care of your psychological and spiritual health and your physical health, obviously. It just seems like that meme you sent me this morning about why is the sun up at 9 p.m.? I forget what it said, but it was hysterical. Just contemplating impending nuclear war. Why is the sun shining so bright at 9 p.m.? It made me and Anna die laughing this morning. So thank you for that. But so it's, you got to keep your sense of humor about it, though. It's getting increasingly difficult to do that.
Well, yeah, because it was great. I saw one of the, I think it was Sal the agorist on Twitter posted something about how like, great, now we have to meme our way out of World War III. And I was just dying laughing at that. So it's like, because it's true. It's like, that's where our society has gotten to for the last few years. There's been many battles that we've been winning with the memeing, you know, meme warring against the woke culture, meme warning against Joe Biden and his ridiculousness, you know? So it's just like, it seems to work in so many instances, but this is one that we can't meme our way out of, you know? So I'm just like,
yeah,
you know, so yeah, I shared one with you as like the stunned face is like me laughing out loud about memes about World War III while wondering why it's like bright sunlight out at 9 p.m. You know, so it's like, it's funny, but it's not funny because there's, you know, that ain't going to work. We got to figure out a real way out of this. And I'm afraid that it's gotten so big that like, what can we do? We got to go join the elites in the nice bunker. We got to start digging holes. That's not fair. We shouldn't have to be digging holes, Joseph. You know what I'm saying? This is right. Our life. This is our countries. This is our planet. We're all in this together, right? What happened to the, we're all in this together, like motto that we all stood up together. We were all on the same page not that long ago. You know what I'm saying? Americans and Russians, we were all on the same page fighting the invisible enemy not that long ago. And now we're expected to just like, Russian Putins can just go poof and we don't care. What happened, dude? How did that happen?
Well, what happened to the fact that being pro-peace used to be, you know, something that was righteous? You were supposed to be allowed to be pro-peace. John Lennon, all we are saying is give peace a chance. I definitely am starting to write peace anthems now, and I don't even feel like an embarrassed hippie when I do it. It seems like the most necessary thing on earth is tones of peace, you know? I mean, we really need to cultivate peace, you know? And this is an outgrowth of so many other conflicts as well. I mean, if we, you know, we've been talking for, you know, endlessly about spiritual war and psychological war. Well, this is how it manifests as well. It manifests into actual war, you know, and including even some of Putin's rhetoric sort of speaks to that, in fact. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's about cultivating peace. It's about making peace hip again, you know, making peace cool, not making it like, you know, the ridiculousness of saying that you want peace is somehow anti-Ukraine. It's just, you know, it's as upside down as everything that's happened in the last few years, really.
Mm-hmm. Plus, people are so concerned about global warming, but they don't seem to be that concerned about thermonuclear war. Last time I checked, atomic bombs are pretty hot, people.
So, That's true.
Where's Greta? Where is Greta? Where is she? Where is she? I need some, yeah. How dare you? I need her to say that to both Putin and Biden and Zelensky, both. I just pulled a Biden. Well, I have two words, made in America. Anyway, but yeah.
How far more you? People die from cold exposure than heat exposure, by the way. And, you know, the UK is announcing that they might do like sort of turning off your electricity for 3 hours and a day mandatory and stuff like that. So, like crazy sanctions. But we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by the fantastic Karen Hunt after these words on TNT.
You should hear what Jason Allborn is talking about.
The government has no place behind one's own front door. I'm not talking about deviant behavior. I'm talking about sovereignty. But in this era of now, the world is changing. And your family has become the state. You actually have to fight now if you want to avoid that. COVID isolation rules were the first example since the starting pistol was sounded. The race is on and there's no going back. The trans agenda is a bridge way too far. It is far from innocent and force feeds sexual development compulsorily against all accepted cultural mores apart from exception to the rule, and then attempts to ram these exceptions into the mainstream reality right down our throats with no time for discussion, reflection or debate. Intolerance is automatically cancelled in the mainstream. That's why those who were vaccine hesitant were discriminated against openly despite all denials in society. Despite the promises of ScoMo, there are no mandates in this country. The opposite was true.
Jason Allborn and Jason Q. Citizen on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere. It is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swinging in reason.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
Because I was white, would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
Don't want the government to know what you're buying? Use cash. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Adam Ruckus Clark and I hope Karen Hunt. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Nice.
I'm here.
Wow, you sound great. I guess you have electricity this time.
I have electricity tonight. It's a good day or a good night tonight. I still like candles, but at least I have electricity. So I'm on my computer, not on my phone this time.
Well, I'm reading your excellent Substack and I am so guilty of saying, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening. And the more we say it, that the more it normalizes the realization that these things we can't believe are happening, are happening. There becomes no answer other than to accept it. You're such a good writer. It's just a joy to read what you have put thank down you. Before us. Your thoughts are eloquent and you're wonderful at it. So thank you for doing it. And how do we get away from saying, I can't believe this is happening in the wake of not being able to believe what is happening?
I think we accept that these things are happening. You know, it's sort of like, a little bit of my personal life from long ago. I was in an abusive marriage. You know, I was married to an abusive man. And you go through these cycles. That's why one reason why I recognize the abuse that our government is inflicting upon us, because you go through these cycles where, you do something bad, like, you know, you're not doing the right thing for climate change. You're using too much of something. So you get punished, and then you get a period of reprieve, you know? And so you feel like, oh, everything's going to be okay now, but then it happens again, because you can never be perfect, right? You're always going to make some kind of mistake. You're not always going to be able to anticipate the next disaster. And so it happens again. And that's when you say, poor me, I can't believe this is happening. But once you accept these things are happening now, I have to protect myself. I have to, you know, find ways to be strong within myself, because it's going to happen. There's not going to be some, moment where we're all good. This isn't a movie. You know, we're not like in a superhero movie. This is reality. And so we accept that these things are happening, and we move through it regardless of how difficult it is. That's how we become stronger. You know, mentally and physically. It's like, you know, if I go running or I go hiking, you know, it's like I can't believe I'm so tired. No, I can believe I'm tired, because this happens to me every time. And I know that if I keep going, I will get through it and I will become stronger. So that's really the only way. It's quite simple, actually, I think, but it's difficult to do.
Okay. So it's interesting, because so when you say I can believe this is happening, it frames it in a more empowering way, and you're ready to confront the reality of whatever abusive situation you're in.
Right, because you can't. That's I can't control that a nuclear bomb might drop. I can't control that. I can't control that, you know, all of these outward things that are happening that make me, that are created to make me feel helpless. That's, you know, you're supposed to feel helpless and just, you know, tired and weary from all of this. And so instead of that, you say, wow, yeah, what am I going to do from, you know, what action can I take to protect myself, to protect my family, to become stronger as a person? You know, it could be as simple as, you know, I'm going to do 25 pushups today, and tomorrow I'm going to do, like when I was in that abusive marriage, how I got out of it, you know, I was alone. I was living in a foreign country. I decided one day, I kind of woke up and I said, I'm going to just go out the door. Like, I don't have any money or anything, but I have a pair of shoes. And I'm going to go out the door and I'm going to start running. You know, I'm going to get myself out of this frame of just inside of my poor me. This is so horrible. I can't believe this is happening to me, you know?
Right.
And every day, no matter how what they have done to us is to make us constantly respond emotionally, you know, not using our logic, not using our reason. So that's what I try to do with my essays, is to go continually back to logic and reason. So when I would go out that door, no matter how I was feeling, didn't matter. Don't sit there and whine about it. Don't feel sorry for yourself. You know, I'm going to go out that door, and if I only make it, you know, one block, I've achieved something. And then tomorrow, I'm going to make it two blocks. You know, and so you're focusing on something that strengthens yourself, that all of those outward things cannot attack you any longer, you know? And so this is what I, you know, these are the experiences that I've drawn on, you know, also martial arts training and all of that. And I remember my dad told a story. You know, my dad was this amazing Christian author and public speaker, an incredible speaker. And he told a story of a man who had been captured by, I don't know if it was, anyway, some Middle Eastern, you know, like ISIS or something like that, but I don't remember what exactly it was because this was a while ago. And he said, they can make you say anything. They have, you know, no matter how strong you think you are, they will find a way to make you, to break you, you know, your body. But in your mind, you are free. You're free. No matter what somebody does to you, you have the strength, you have the ability, you have the power within your spirit, within your mind, to be free and to think what you want. Now, we are coming to the point, as you know, Yuval Harari says now, that you know, these which I'm actually writing about at the moment, that these algorithms, the AI, will know you. They say, will know you better than yourself, will know your thoughts. This has never happened before in history, to get inside of you, into your, you know, to sap out your soul, to take over your mind. And so this is why we must really be strong and really train ourselves, you know, physically and mentally, because we don't want to let them into actually literally inside of us, you know, like a demon or a spirit, an evil spirit controlling us, you know. So yeah, that's taking it pretty far, but really that's really what we face and what and why we need every day to practice, you know, self-discipline and strength, you know, just within ourselves. Yeah, so yeah,
can I you got me on a roll there. Oh my God. I want to keep going. We got to go to headlines, but I want to hire you as my life coach. And now I know why your Substack is called Break Free with Karen Hunt. We're going to the headlines on TNT.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Belarus has announced it's joining forces with Russia and deploying several thousand troops to the battlefield in response to relentless aggression from the West. Russia's alerted a list of international human rights groups about a disturbing video online showing dead civilians being tossed into a grave in Ukraine. And Poland has reportedly started taking an inventory of the country's bomb shelters to make sure they're ready for public use.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you'd like to hear on TNT Radio?
Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss?
Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
And we're back with Adam Ruckus Clark and Karen Hunt, who was just giving us a very, very inspiring sermon almost, I guess, about how to live through these times and how to break free from the subjugation and control they want to get in our minds. This guy, I mean, what's his name? Yuval Harari? I mean, it sounds like
evil. Evil.
It's very, you know, close to just straight up Yuval Harari. He drives a Ferrari.
Yuval Noah Harari.
Okay. Maybe it's not.
But you know, sometimes I wonder about, actually I was thinking about it today, and I wonder about him, that, you know, that maybe he's so very clever. I've written, because I've researched him a lot, I wrote some quite a bit about him, you know, he does not own a cell phone, and of course he probably has somebody else who, you know, who does that for him. But I wonder sometimes if he is very clever, that because what he, if you listen to him, you find out everything that you need to be warned about, you know? And yet the World Economic Forum and all these people think that he is their prophet. I don't know. Sometimes I think maybe he's flipped it in a clever sort of a way, but it really depends on how open you are, you know, and what perspective that you take from what he says, because everything he says is so horrific that you can only look at it like, wow, I don't want that to happen. You know, so it's really interesting. I am a little bit fascinated by him.
maybe he's like the yin to your yang. And so there's some exactly. Kind of sort of, yeah, magnetic attraction. Ruckus, why don't you chime in here?
Night and day, that guy and you, Karen. Mm-hmm. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Yeah, that's, I don't know, these little twerps, these little ghouls, these little people, these little demon-infested things giving us a little trouble here on this existence is but a little annoyance for true believers, in my opinion. I like what you say about preservation, though. You know, there is some biblical foundation for that. 1 Timothy 5:7 is popularly known for that. 5:8, I believe. What is it? I'm going to misquote this. But if any man not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So it's okay to want to take care of yourself and your family. God commands you to do that. It's part of, you know, what we got to do. So I think that these instances, like we were discussing before you came on, Karen, about the ever impending idea of going poof, as I describe it, from nuclear annihilation or whatnot, it's just, this is just all, it's all temporary anyway, but I don't know. These people have just, they've crossed the line with this stuff, to be honest with you. They cross the line with a lot of stuff, and I just see them further crossing the line. Like, they've crossed the line, and since nobody put them in their place, they just kept going, and it's not going to stop. These people are not going to turn the car around. So it's now on us. And I think, like I was alluding to, is the problem is so big worldwide that I don't think we're not going to fix the world's problems at this point, but we got to focus on ourselves. We got to focus on the people we love, ourselves, those closest to us, but that needs to extend out into your local community, because, you know, your preservation is also dependent upon the preservation of those around you, because when the, you know what, hits the fan, it's, you really got to come together and be of one. And that's the time for we're all in this together, is these type of moments, not the fake pandemic, you know. So I might be rambling.
No, I mean, the pandemic, we thought that was bad. You know, it's funny because people would say, I've been saying for a while, for years, you know, war is coming, that it will come in Ukraine. And people, especially particularly during the pandemic, people said, well, we're in a war. And I would, you know, I didn't like to say, because you can't explain to people something that they haven't been through or that they can't see, you know, with their spirit, but that was nothing. I mean, you don't know what a war is until you're there, you know, someone's invading your home, your space, you know, to kill you. You know, or you're running, or, you know, so you see somebody's legs get blown off. You know, I mean, this is war. And the thing is like, people talk about Armageddon, but we have to remember that millions upon millions, like the majority of people in this world, suffer a lot. You know, I mean, we've been very fortunate in our country, and we have not been thankful every day for what we have, you know, and all we do is complain in this country. All we do is complain and take another pill, you know, and say, oh, I can't believe this is happening, you know, when there are people in the world who are really, really suffering. And so I think that through suffering, the yin and the yang, people will rise up. That's what always happens. We can't predict the future. We don't know. It's going to get worse, you know, but out of this, out of the ashes, you know, something good always rises. And we can't think that, you know, again, not like a movie, well, oh, we're going to have a happy ending, I'm going to see that, you know, not necessarily so. That's not what life is about. It's not about, you know, getting yourself a happy ending, getting a pat on the back, getting some kind of an award. It's about going through your life with faith and with a higher calling and a higher, I don't even like to use the word prize, but a higher faith, a higher calling, that it doesn't matter, because winning, you know, the idea of what winning and success is on this planet is very far from what it actually is, you know. So we keep our eyes on something greater. Well, I mean, you know, we think that having a commodities, having a bigger car, a bigger house, you know, more money in the bank, you know, and in fact, even, you know, what does it mean to take care of yourself or to take care of the people around you? It doesn't, you know, there are people, I've been to countries where, you know, people are so poor, but there's a smile on their face, you know. So it's not about how much material possessions you have. It's about, you know, the peace that you have in your heart, and that you have a higher prize, which goes beyond this world, you know, which is the spiritual. And that's what they're trying to take away from us. They're trying to say there is no spirit. It's all, you know, it's all just the flesh and the blood, and the, you know, we can tinker with your body. We can change you. We can transform you into some kind of some greater being. But these are, you know, lies and a mockery of what of the spirit, you know, because it's the spirit that matters.
That's what it's been about from the beginning. It's been about that from the beginning. And those of us that resisted the jab, we trusted our God-given immune system, and that's what our spirit told us. And, you know, we listened to the voice of the spirit. And, you know, I think this has been the biggest exposure for people that have real faith versus people that just don't, or put their faith into institutions, in my view, wrongly place their faith. Mm-hmm. But Karen, what do you think the result, if you've known this war was coming for a long time, where do you see it going, since you seem to have good predictive powers? Is NATO going to slap back here, and is this going to escalate from here, or what's your opinion?
Well, I did write the piece about Biden to the rescue, you know, and, you know, there are some very practical reasons why the war has happened. You know, we can see that with all the money laundering that's going on now, you know, with the gas now the United States is set to be, you know, the number one provider for natural gas to Europe, bringing Germany to its knees, cutting off Russia. So there are a lot of greedy, disgusting, despicable, but just very, you know, earthly reasons why the war is happening. But you know, I think it has the potential definitely to get out of control. I mean, this part of the world has, I think that, you know, they want this chaos. If we look at the World Economic Forum, you know, they talk about this great reset. You know, they want to bring everything down. I mean, the financial world is in a disaster. They have to do something, you know, so they change the financial system. All of these things need to be changed. And so, you know, they want to, you know, lower the population so they can make their utopia. All of these mad, insane, crazy ideas, you know, maybe drop a little atomic bomb, you know. But you see, they can do anything. They can say that they can even say that a bomb has occurred, and it doesn't necessarily have to be true. You know, the government just bought $280 million worth of anti-radiation pills, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's another
big,
you know,
pharma
so to
coming
make,
in.
And who's buying that? Of course, the taxpayers are being bled dry for all of this. And then we have to ingest these things into our bodies, or, you know, that's what we're supposed to do to save ourselves from what they are inflicting upon us. It's so insane and so horrible. But, you know, again, you know, if you look at them, they're into self-preservation. So I doubt they're going to drop a bomb on themselves. So they can do all kinds of things to just mess with our heads as well. But they don't care. Like a little country like Ukraine, or, you know, running armies across these little countries. I mean, they do that. You know, the United States government, let's be real, has done this, has created, you know, wars in many countries all over the world. This is what they do. You know, this is how they control. Send somebody in, you know, create a problem, and then say, oh, we'll fix it. Here, get in debt to us. And once you're in debt, you know, to the United States, then, you know, you're their slave forever. And, you know, this is a pattern that happens over and over again. So, But the whole thing could just explode too. There's so many hot points in the world, you know, not just Ukraine, but, you know, Taiwan and a big, I mean, it's too big of a topic, but, you know, a big point was what happened in Afghanistan, the way that the withdrawal happened.
Right.
Really led, you know, in a lot of ways led to what's happening now, but that's like another.
How so?
Topic. I mean, well, the way that, you know that if they were withdrawing from there, leaving all those weapons behind, they had to have another, they had the Eye of Sauron, I like to think of it, like, you know, from Lord of the Rings, was moving somewhere else, you know, and so they just left this country in ruins, but in even in such a callous way, even, I mean, at least in the past, there was some sort of a degree of trying to cover up how callous they are, you know, but mm-hmm. they really did it in such a callous way that I think what we don't realize is that there are many, many, many now countries in the world that if they hated us before, they really hate us now. You know, we see it right. from our perspective in the West, but so it has created this huge divide. And also it gave the impression that the United States does not, especially with this very weak doddering president, does not stand up for its allies. So it emboldened these That's other true. Leaders to say, this is our chance to do this. You know, we're going to take this opportunity. You can see it happening all over the world. It's just created this a terrible, terrible, unbalance in the power structure. So, you know, that's, I think, a lot of the reasons why that happened.
All right, let me go to a quick break. We'll be right back with Karen Hunt and Adam Ruckus-Clark after these words on TNT.
We can finally say it out loud. COVID vaccines may be reducing fertility. There, I said it.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
The New York Times has reported that women's periods may be late after coronavirus vaccination, reporting erratic cycles after the shot. In addition, medical journals are reporting that COVID-19 vaccination impairs semen among semen donors. This is leading many in the medical community to worry about a drop in fertility. We've dealt with these fears before. A 1969 New York Times headline reads, "A sterility drug in food is hinted at." The New York Times reported the possibility that government might have to put sterility drugs in reservoirs and food to limit human multiplication was envisioned today by Paul Ehrlich, and you thought it was a conspiracy theory. This prompted Carl Rowan, the African-American columnist, to write "Blacks Fear Population Control as Genocide" in 1970. The question now is, what did they know about the COVID vaccine and when did they know it? This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
My therapist had told me that I needed to go to AA meetings, but I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go because I didn't want to be an alcoholic. That was not what I wanted to grow up and be. I didn't want to go to AA, but I did, and it wasn't what I expected by any means. It was friendly. I could feel it. I mean, I could feel the happiness. It's really great.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
Scotland is to cut down more than 14 million trees to make way for wind turbines. The green dream of wind and solar is a nightmare.
We mandate that the truth be told.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back with Karen Hunt and Adam Ruckus-Clark. We were on a text chain earlier. Karen, I sent you guys the Rolling Stone bit about, you know, they're denying the fact that, you know, they're calling the rainbow fentanyl a right-wing conspiracy theory. They're trying to tell the kids, don't worry, eat your Halloween candy, these right-wing nut jobs. But it's odd because rainbow fentanyl isn't a conspiracy, right? I mean, that has crossed the border. It's like, it just seems so bizarre that somebody like Rolling Stone is trying to dissuade caution in this regard.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about that today too, where I mean, it's so horrific that it's so weird. Mind-boggling. But what it is, is again, it's like this, it's going back to this menticide. I mean, if we look back, you know, 2 years ago, a year ago, children, they instilled fear in us. Don't let your children go out at Halloween. They're going to catch up this virus and they're going to die, you know?
Right.
And now they, so you just have to look at it like you just take a step back. Yeah, you take a step back, look at it. Yeah. And I mean, it's, yeah. So now they're saying, you know, oh, wow, what a party pooper. You're not going to let your children out on Halloween. You know, let them go out and have fun. I mean, this is the constant, what I was talking about. This is so abusive. And to take it from you, give it back, take from you, and then shame on you every time. It's your fault. It's your fault, you know. Listen to us. Do what we say. If you don't, you know, bad things are going to happen to you, you know, and it gets people just in this pattern of just, they can't rationalize anymore. They go from one like disaster to another, again, thinking emotionally without pausing and stopping. And people have stopped, you know, people are not able to pause and follow one thought to a conclusion because there's like too many things coming at them at once. But if you take one thing, if you just take that fentanyl, and it doesn't matter whether, you know, everyone's focusing on their rainbow colors. Forget about the rainbow colors. Think about the fentanyl, you know? Who cares? Right. You know, what's the fact? The fact is that drugs are destroying this country.
Absolutely. But they're finding rainbow fentanyl in like packages of Skittles. So, maybe it's like, you know, it's crazy making, as you just displayed. Because obviously if my daughter was to go trick or treating, I would never let her go do that in this day and age. But, you know, or I would walk with her and then just make sure I checked everything or something, you know. But they should support caution in this regard. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, in the neighborhood where I'm not going to be here, I'm going to be in the back in Phoenix Thanksgiving at Easter at Halloween here. But you know, my daughter and their kids, they go in the neighborhood, they know their neighbors. Okay, so I would never go up to a strange house with my kids. And you know, I mean, they go to the places that they know in the neighborhood. Everybody knows everybody in the neighborhood. But we don't have like, where are the neighborhoods anymore? You know, that's another thing too. So, and when I was a kid, way, way back in the day, everyone was afraid of like,
razor blades.
razor blades
in the old apple.
Exactly. You know? So that's why I say, if you remove, yes, that can be true, but they focus on that to make it this great emotional, that's ridiculous. No, it's not ridiculous. Yeah. Because if you look at the facts and the statistics of what's happening, which I wrote about in that essay, So You Want to Be a Kingpin? Yeah, I wrote about this recently. The fact of the matter is that fentanyl is killing our, I mean, like I said, sadly, my younger son's best friend that he grew up with, he had moved to Chicago and he died from a fentanyl overdose. I know and this breaks my heart. Christmas is always a hard time for my son now, you know, because of that. We know between my two sons, grew up in the San Fernando Valley, Los Angeles, they know between them over now 20 young people who have died from drug overdoses or suicide, which is related to drugs. And this is reality, and anyone who tries to tell you differently is something really evil and wrong.
Menticide is an organized system of psychological intervention and judicial perversion through which a ruling class can imprint their own opportunistic thoughts upon the minds of those they plan to use and destroy. That's from your Substack.
Yep. Yeah, that's from a book by Yust Merlu, which I highly recommend everyone to read, which is called The Rape of the Mind. I did not write that, but I did quote it. Rape of the Mind. Ruckus, chime in here. Yeah.
I think you guys are way off. You're missing the big picture here. Okay.
I knew it.
This is what's really going on.
I could feel you thinking.
This is obviously, it is fake news, but it's obviously a very well planned and thought out conspiracy put forth a collaboration between Mars Incorporated and Hershey's. Those are chocolate makers because they want everybody to be afraid of these fruity, bright, colorful candies, and everyone is going to spend a lot more money on the chocolate bars and the Hershey kisses.
Yes.
Chocolate fentanyl.
But in all seriousness, it's a chocolate conspiracy. That's the October surprise. So invest in, not financial advice, but I would be investing in chocolatiers right now. Hint, hint.
I got to go right now. I got to go call my stockbroker.
Time to sign up for Robinhood, people. It wouldn't be funny if that's true. I would laugh. But here's the thing, though. You're absolutely right. But it is a distraction from what is important. And what's important is that the drugs are happening. They are coming here over the border. They are killing people. It doesn't even freaking matter what they look like. You know what I'm saying? And this whole Halloween thing, this is more, they love to latch onto any story, whether it's real, manufactured, even if it's a little thing. If yesterday it wouldn't even be considered news, it's news now, baby, because we can spin it and it's all politicized because we are full on. This is prime political season right now, people. It's game time, showtime. This is it. So it's go, go, go. Everything's got to be spun. So, yeah. To your point about the early days of the Halloween and the razor blades and the that totally an urban legend, not based on any reality, but there were quite a number of times.
No.
I'll turn you on to some information. I promise you that was fake. But the thing is,
I'm Googling it right now. That'll tell me the truth.
Well, that's fine.
Exactly.
Let's assume whether it was based on a real life event. Let's assume it was. Okay. That how many people did that? Maybe
five.
Just one or two, even if it was five.
Five,
okay, five
in the
people
world.
Around the whole country of people who celebrate Halloween. Does that necessitate that usually every year? Local dentists volunteer to have your kids' candy scanned by an X-ray. You can, to this day, you can call it, you'll have a place that you can take your candy if you're worried about it and get it X-rayed. You know what I'm saying? To this day, based off of what, whether it was real or not, you know what I'm saying?
But this is on the level. This is on the level of the Richard Gere conspiracy theory. Hi-o.
Exactly. The legends never die, and neither do small furry animals. Anyways,
that was so funny. I was just watching. I was just watching a movie with him in it last night. That's so crazy.
He's great. Wow. See, it's a small world.
It sure
yeah. Which
is.
One?
Which oh, one? It's called Intersection. It's really.
I think I remember
it's
that.
An obscure. Yeah, it's like. You know, something from, yeah, obviously from back in the 80s. I love 80s movies, so.
Remember Primal Fear with yes. Ed Norton's big breakout when all of a sudden you're like, who is this guy? He's like the best actor of all time. He like, what a role. Anyway, all right, we got 3 minutes left. This gives us ample time to do a Ruckus breakdown and a Karen Hunt breakdown on the night and send us off into some kind of positive stupor of love and hopes for peace, or whatever you want. Go ahead, Karen Hunt. What do you got for us?
Wow. Yeah. So I would say to everybody, I've actually written and illustrated a lot of children's books in a previous life. I have actually 19 children's books I've written and or illustrated years ago. One of them was called Goodnight Blessings. And it's like every page, it's thinking of something that you can be thankful for. Crazy idea, right? How many times do we do that? This is what I would suggest, since we're on the inspirational side of things, which, you know, it's nice to be every once in a while, you know, not just all the doom and gloom. But how often do you think of something, you know, what are you thankful for? So many, we have so many things to be thankful for. Think of those things. Like, just also train yourself, discipline yourself to, when you get down, you know, think of something to be thankful for. What do I have to be thankful for? Just start doing it. Everything's a habit. Make that a habit in your life. That's what I would say.
I love that. All right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to employ that. I was thinking of my daughter the whole time you were saying that. I have so many blessings. Thank you, yeah. God. All right, Adam Ruckus Clark, what you got for us?
Why don't we do some advice for the newbies out there? What do you think? For the people who are still half asleep, who aren't sure, they're just sitting on the fence about, well, anything. Fill in the blank, whether it's going to be the existence of viruses, who or what was responsible for the pandemic, the lockdowns, whether or not these shots are working, if they're safe and effective, or if they're hurting people, climate change, Ukraine, Putin, nuclear war, you name it, fill in the blank. A British science fiction author by the name of Ian Watson, I found a great quote by this dude. If you have to be persuaded, reminded, pressured, lied to, incentivized, coerced, bullied, socially shamed, guilt-tripped, threatened, punished, and criminalized, if all this is considered necessary to gain your compliance, you can be absolutely certain that what is being promoted is not in your best interest. Thank you very much, Jason. God bless.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Adam Ruckus Clark. Thank you, Karen Hunt. Love you both.
Thank you.
Keep listening to TNT, everybody. Peace out.